Tonight, I'm going to interrupt this introduction, just stop it right here, and I am going to refuse to yield the floor to Madam President Patty Vasquez, because I have quite a few things I need to talk about this evening. First and foremost, on the show tonight, we will have many wonderful guests. They are going to be incredible, and you're going to love them a lot, listeners. But until we get to said guests again, I need to go ahead and discuss something very important to the show. This is Craig Collins. I am the producer of WGN Radio, and I am confused as to why there's not more root beer for the producers. I would like it if at some point we're supplied a... I can yield for a question. I can listen to a question, Patty Vasquez, but I refuse to yield the floor to a question.
Oh, I accept. And what kind of root beer is it? Do you need to have...
Dads?
Sugar-free or regular sugar?
No, sugar-free might be nicer for my midsection. So, yes, I would appreciate some sugar-free. Are we done?
Can you do 13 hours? He's on.
I was struggling with like 30 seconds there.
Senator Christopher Murphy from Connecticut has had the floor for over 13 hours.
He's still there, right?
He's still there. And this was a commerce.
He wants more than root beer.
He wants so much more than root beer. And he wants something I think a lot of people can agree on.
Yeah.
Which is he wants the legislature, he wants the government, our government, our senators to vote on two key items, which is if you are a suspected terrorist or a known terrorist in the United States, you cannot buy a gun. If you're already on a no-fly list, you should not be able to buy a gun. Apparently, 91% of suspected terrorists and known terrorists are actually now capable and legally able to buy a gun at this time. And he also wants to close the loopholes for background checks. So no matter where the point of sale is, whether it's at a brick-and-mortar location or if it's at a gun show or online, there has to be a background check. And I think that those are things that we can all agree on. 312-981-7200. If you disagree that suspected and known terrorists should not be able to buy a gun and that there should not be a background check for gun shows and online purchases. That's the only question. I'm not asking about anything else. Keep the rest of your weapons. Keep your weapons to yourself. Keep them holster. You know what? A lot of people are going to get their panties in a bunch tonight. You know what? Just go ahead and put your thong on because that just saves you the step of having it all bunched up. Because I assure you my panties have been bunched and I made the appropriate change in wardrobe so that I could handle the rest of this evening.
Yet again, I'm going to have to filibuster the floor. Producers, male producers will not be wearing thong underwear.
Thank you. I think that's appreciated. Oh,
okay,
yeah. There's no...
Yeah, we're not going to have any thongs on.
Now I've gone there. My mind has gone there. I have... You are wearing a thong in my mind.
Nope. I'm not. It never happened.
You prohibit the images of producers also having thongs in the minds of the host.
Correct, yes. Okay. I would like that.
That's forbidden. No background checks necessary. Esmeralda, there's a filibuster. There's a filibuster going on right now. Do you know, are you not excited? Why am I the only person?
Is it only one part? I only thought one person could do it.
Well, he is filibustering, but he can yield for a question. So since about 11:21 Eastern time, so that would be 10:21 our time, Senator Murphy of Connecticut has been filibustering and taking questions from...
One of the 10 longest filibusters in the history, or since 1900. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Don. Uh-huh. What is it going to cost us? What are those measures going to cost us?
I mean, I don't even know how to calculate how much money all that would take to pass a bill like that. I don't know how much money it costs to move legislation like that. But the first piece of legislation?
Yes.
People on terrorist watch lists, right?
Yes.
You want, and a whole bunch of people, 90-some% of people want that thing to happen where those people cannot buy a gun, right?
Yes.
Okay. As soon as that happens, we'll have spent all this money on that, and then a judge will throw it out of court.
Because it's against their Second Amendment rights.
No, because of due process. You can't take somebody's voting rights or freedom of speech,
Don,
or religious rights away without due process. If someone hasn't
process.
Been
gotcha.
Convicted of something, you can't do that.
Gotcha.
And this just happens to be the Second Amendment we're talking about, not the other ones that apply also.
So we should leave it as it is. We shouldn't try.
I mean,
we should just keep going in this direction. This has worked really well so far.
My thoughts are, I don't understand why we let so many people from the third world terrorist countries come in here in the first place. So I think if we didn't do that, we'd have some measure of less problems.
Can
okay?
I throw out real quick? He was a U.S. citizen.
Yeah. He was a U.S. citizen. Yes.
And so was the guy shooter. From Sandy Hook.
He was.
And so was the guy from Colorado.
Right.
And South Carolina.
Right. Yep.
So
what was your...
You're right about that.
Awesome. So we're right. Okay, we agree I'm right. I love it. This is going well so far.
The other thing,
yes.
Right, background checks. I mean.
I know. What a waste of time.
Guns are in, buying guns, owning guns are in the Bill of Rights, okay? And I always hear this stuff about voting rights that are not in the Bill of
Rights. Hold on a second. I'm going to roll this down for a second, Don, because I feel like we're going to talk over each other. Actually, the right to bear arms is in the Bill of Rights. And I mean, that could mean swords, grenades, flamethrowers. It's actually legal under the Bill of Rights, under the Second Amendment right now, because Scalia and a lot of the Supreme Court made this possible. You can actually own a grenade launcher and a flamethrower. Those are covered by the Second Amendment. So I'm just going to put that out there. We have to take a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And my panties are in a bunch, Esmeralda.
Dig them out.
How are your panties doing, Esmeralda?
They're in there.
They're in there?
They're just going to stay in there.
They're just going to just tuck. That's the thing. Just tuck them and just leave them there until otherwise advised.
Exactly. I'll spend a few hours digging them out later.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to work on that later. Yeah, I'm a little bit amped, so we can have this conversation, but I think that the time for what about this and what about that, I think that these are two things we can vote on. And if it is a constitutional problem with the Supreme Court, I think we work that out. And perhaps it is something that is adjusted in the Bill of Rights and what it means to bear arms. Because I don't know. I mean, I think that it's something we've nothing else has worked. Why not this? Why? I mean, I guess the answer is because the Supreme Court might overturn it, or because I know we never got to Don's. It's going to cost us money, but is that really the answer to trying to cut off as much as we can the access to buying guns illegally? Is that
Mass shootings? I mean,
and mass shootings. Well, that would ultimately.
The whole point of this is to prevent more catastrophic mass shootings from happening, and it seems like that's worth whatever amount of money it costs.
And every shooting is catastrophic.
Yes.
Every shooting is catastrophic. And I know that people get upset, and it's true. In Chicago, every day people are getting shot. It's catastrophic here every single day. And a lot of these guns, people say, well, Chicago has the toughest gun laws, some of the toughest gun laws in the country. Yeah, they're not buying the guns here. Indiana does not have the toughest gun laws in the country. There are gun shows all over the country that don't have background checks. That's how guns are coming into our city. So I don't know what else to do. I mean, again, do you think that we should continue to sell weapons to suspected terrorists and to known terrorists? 91% of suspected terrorists are eligible to buy guns, and known terrorists are eligible to buy weapons. So there is a filibuster right now. If you go to C-SPAN, it's the Senate. So there are two choices on your C-SPAN menu, and you can watch that. You can put it on in the background. You can go back and forth. We have some of Dick Durbin's. We were trying to get him on the air. I'm now kind of harassing him on Twitter and his press folks because they were gonna try to get him on, and he's busy. He's all like, I have an email to send out to everybody. Sign this petition. Yes, but we would like to hear from you, sir. So 312-981-7200. Join the conversation. I am a little amped. I promise to try to calm down, but I started drinking coffee during the filibuster, and it turns out I don't need to talk for 13 hours, just the three. So I have consumed enough coffee for the next 11 hours, and I apologize to my family, to my friends. That's all.
You're not sleeping tonight, are you?
No, refuse to yield the microphone, by the way, Patty.
Yeah. Sorry, Nick D.
Yeah.
We're staying here.
Sorry, Steve Cochran.
I mean, we'll turn over the show to you. I'll just keep standing here in front of this microphone, and it won't be on.
All right, that's
no one will hear me.
Do you want some Dick Durbin?
I want some Dick Durbin.
Okay.
I'd ask the senator from Connecticut, without asking him to yield the floor, another question.
I
our colleague from California, Senator Feinstein, has filed an amendment. I believe she's making some slight changes to it, but the amendment addresses the first issue. It authorizes the Attorney General of the United States to deny requests to transfer a firearm to a known or suspected terrorist. Now, the senator from Connecticut has said it repeatedly, and I think I'd like to repeat it myself. This is something the vast majority of Americans say, you mean a terrorist can buy a gun in America and you can't stop him? So, overwhelmingly, Democrat, Republican, Independent, gun owners, non-gun owners, believe this is common sense. And the senator from California, in this amendment, says hereafter the Attorney General may deny the transfer of a firearm if the Attorney General determines, based on the totality of circumstances, that the transferee, purchaser of the firearm, represents a threat to public safety based on a reasonable suspicion that the transferee's engaged, has been engaged, in conduct constituting, in preparation for, in aid of, or related to terrorism, or providing material support or resources thereof. So in the first sentence of about six or seven sentence amendment, this senator from California, in a few words, says exactly what the senator from Connecticut has said. We want to give to the Attorney General the power to stop a suspected terrorist from buying a firearm in this country. The power.
I think that seems reasonable. Does that seem, James Vickery? You're a human being.
I am.
Does that sound reasonable?
It absolutely sounds reasonable.
Right? That to stop a suspected terrorist, he can't get on your plane.
Right.
He or she.
You're afraid for this person
to get on the plane.
To fly on a plane.
But by all means, and people are saying it's going to cost us money, that it's going to get overturned anyway, that that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make a difference, that,
right.
that they're still going to have access. Okay, then you know what? Then nothing. Then don't do anything. Just, do I take a break? I'm totally present.
No, you have like 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes.
I want to talk to Sue. Yeah, Sue, okay. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hi, Sue.
Hi. Anyway, my brother was murdered with a gun by an enforcer to a gang. And my attitude is no matter which way you look at it, you're not going to keep them from getting guns, knives, or whatever. If they've got terrorism in their hearts and want to come here, that's what's going to happen. But what gets me are the family members that know about these people and don't even report it to somebody like the FBI or something if they love this country so much. Because
I agree.
You stop them before it happens.
Yeah, his wife.
And as far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. nobody is going to be able to stop guns or anything else. They couldn't stop the guns going into Afghanistan from Russia.
Right.
Going against our own men. They aren't going to stop it here. Bring back our men. We need them here.
Thank you, Sue.
You're welcome. I have two grandsons in the Marines, and it's about time they use their heads and bring them back here. We need them to inspect everything and find out what the hell is going on.
Yeah, I agree. We need our trained army, our military, to be here. We have a state of emergency right here in the United States. Thank you, Sue. George, what do you think?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right.
So, you know, it's like, I don't think that there's anything that I was just going to say the same thing that Sue just said. There's nothing that we can do. It's like we have a really crappy built home, and that is our country. And every time a floorboard pops up, someone has a solution as to how to fix it. We keep nailing floorboards and patching walls. We got to just tear down the house and fix our foreign policy and rebuild on a better structure, on a better foundation, because there's nothing we can do to stop, you know, weapons from coming to people that want to cause mass harm. And I have one more quick question.
Yes.
How come a mass murder of 49 people is, you know, a 5 day long internet radio tirade, but when 50 people get murdered in one day in Chicago,
I agree.
It gets mentioned on WGN News for 10 minutes and then people overlook it. Isn't that just the same?
It is. You're absolutely right. It's the same. And that's what I mentioned before the break. It's catastrophic every time there's a shooting, not just a mass shooting. Every single day in Chicago, it's catastrophic. Every single day.
It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable, you know. And, I grew up in Europe, and the country I grew up in wasn't that great. But when, you know, even there, people were killing each other for food. And it wasn't as scary as it is here. I don't even want to leave my house.
Where did you grow up, George?
In North Greece, where the Turks and the Greeks were always fighting nonstop, you know. And
there wasn't as much gun violence. Do you know what kind of gun laws they had?
They have the strictest gun laws. You can't even own a gun in that entire region, in that area. But, you know, the military had guns and that's it. You could, mm-hmm. you know, arm your house with a knife. And mm-hmm. it seemed like there was a lot of gun issues. And it seems to me like in the areas of the United States that don't have strict gun laws, there really isn't any gun violence. It seems like only the areas that have very strict gun laws where the people can't arm themselves, you know, where they're getting shot. In Texas, you know, how many people get shot in Texas? It seems yeah. like nobody does over there.
Oh, no, I believe there are 60,000 gun deaths in the United States. Well, you know what? I'm not going to go ahead and do numbers because it is a conversation about, you know, one, it's a conversation about not giving up, George, and not saying there's nothing we can do, because I really do believe there is. I think that we all have to come from our own position of what that is, whether
yeah.
it's contact. And I haven't been doing a tirade. I sound amped
now. Not you. I called yesterday and told you about getting a pre-screening for your mental health before
right.
you know, and I think that's got to be a start.
I agree.
Getting a mental pre-screening before getting a FOID card has got to be the start of it.
I agree. Thank you so much, George. Have a good night. We'll talk to you again soon.
Have a great night.
More after this on 720 WGN.
Well, I guess the gentlemen are in a pretty tall hurry to get me out of here. The way the evidence is piled up against me, I can't say I blame them much. And I'm quite willing to go, sir, when they voted that way. But before that happens, I've got a few things I want to say to this body. I tried to say them once before, and I got stopped colder than a mackerel. Well, I'd like to get them said this time, sir. And as a matter of fact, I'm not going to leave this body until I do get them said.
President, will the senator yield?
The senator yields?
No, sir, I'm afraid not. No, sir. I yielded the floor once before, if you can remember, and I was practically never heard of again. No, sir. And we might as well all get together on this yielding business right off the bat now. I had some pretty good coaching last night. And I find that if I yield only for a question or a point of order or a personal privilege, that I can hold this floor almost until doomsday. In other words, I've got a piece to speak. And blow hot or cold, I'm going to speak.
Order. Order, gentlemen.
Mr. President, I stand guilty as framed because Section 40 is graft. And I was ready to say so. I was ready to tell you that a certain man in my state, a Mr. James Taylor...
Well, now he's getting into his own story. It's not a movie. Today, there is a filibuster on the floor of the Senate in Washington, D.C., and they are talking about gun control. At 11:21 Eastern Time, Senator Murphy of Connecticut took the floor, and they were discussing a bill that really is about commerce, about mental health, about the justice system. It's a 2017 bill, and he took over and said that he would not be sitting down. Is he still going, Craig? I haven't even checked yet. But we are having this conversation. It's happening all over the country. It's happening all over the world about what it means to have the Second Amendment right, the right to bear arms. And joining me in studio is James Vickery, a regular on the show. And actually, one of the first times you were ever on the show, we just were like,
yeah.
We barely brushed across a conversation about owning guns, and people just
barely
jumped down our throats. And in studio with me as well, and I dare you to jump down her throat, we have Michelle Homme, who has a background in law enforcement and has been very passionate about her beliefs on gun ownership in the United States.
Absolutely.
And you posted, it's a repost about how, do you have that on?
Do
you want to, you can read
second.
It, because I read a little bit of it. And I know we have listeners on hold, and if you'll bear with me, we will continue to have the conversation. But I do believe in what the senator is doing in his filibuster. He is asking for the body to vote on two items. One being that if someone is a suspected terrorist or a known terrorist, and which qualifies them for the no-fly list, they should also not be able to buy a gun. And secondly, background checks, regardless of the point of sale, whether it's brick and mortar or at a gun show or online, there should be a background check. Those are the only two things he's filibustering about today. So tell us about this post that you, because this is what caught my attention.
Do you want me to read it verbatim?
Yeah, you can read it verbatim. Because I think it sounded like you. I thought you wrote it when I read it. I was
exactly.
Like,
that's why at the end I had put copied from a post.
Yeah.
Because
I really thought it was
I
you.
Would say.
Yeah.
It says, I stand behind you in line at a store with a smile on my face and a gun under my shirt, and you are none the wiser, yet you are safer for having me next to you. I won't shoot you. My gun won't pull its own trigger. It is securely holstered with the trigger covered. It can't just go off. However, rest assured that if a lunatic walks into the grocery store and pulls out a rifle, I will draw my pistol and protect myself and my family, and therefore protect you and your family. I may get shot before I can pull the trigger, but I won't die in a helpless, blubbering heap on the floor begging for my life or my child's life. No, if I die, it will be in a pile of spent shell casings. I won't be that victim. I choose not to be. As for you, I don't ask you to carry a gun. If you are not comfortable, then please don't. But I would like to keep my right to choose not to be a helpless victim. There is evil in the world, and if evil has a gun, I want one too. Which led to
quite a
rant on my Facebook post.
Well, but and again, I could hear it in that voice. That was a voice I heard, was you. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was when you said it was shared from another post. I was like, that's Michelle. That's Michelle I've
absolutely.
Known for almost 20 years.
Good yep. reading, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, thank
well,
you.
Mm-hmm. Because she means it. She
mm-hmm.
would smile behind you. And you are trained. And you continue to train. You've offered to take me out to the firing range.
Absolutely.
Which I have. I have fired automatic rifles. I have shot a Glock. I have trained with the FBI Citizens Academy. I have been down and I've trained with the Chicago Police Department SWAT.
But they've gun ownership isn't just going to the range every now and again. It's staying proficient.
Right.
And there's so much more to it. I don't just try to go to the range like, you know, every 6 months or so. I want to know that I'm proficient with what I'm handling. And
right.
Gun owners should be.
And in a situation. It's
absolutely.
One thing because people keep saying, I don't know what the numbers are, but how many times has somebody interrupted a mass shooting? because they, because in Florida there is a carry conceal, there are carry and conceal laws. Mm-hmm. Colorado has carry and conceal
laws. But can you actually carry them in the establishments that?
Right. I don't where
these,
they were
these
in the bar.
Occurrences have occurred. That's part of
to
the
protect
problem.
Yourself.
Exactly, and that's part of the problem. I understand we're in the Midwest and we have very conservative views. Obviously, we're not Texas. We're not. Nobody's used to people just walking around with a sidearm. But I disagree substantially with I can't carry a gun on the train. That's
no
where I need a gun in Chicago.
Right. And you, so you cannot even if
you
with
cannot
your...
carry in Chicago. You can almost carry nowhere. It's ridiculous.
But see, here's the problem. And this is me. I have no law enforcement background whatsoever. I've never owned a gun. I've never
You've
shot a gun.
You've been pulled over. That's been your.
I have been pulled
okay.
over.
So you've had contact.
I've had contact with the police. There's no doubt about it. But it makes me. And I don't. You seem like a nice woman. I met you 15 minutes ago.
Oh, you
maybe.
Don't know me very well.
I don't. Exactly. Well, that's my point.
She's super cool.
I know that because I know you and all that. But if you're just a random stranger, it feels weird that I have to feel comfortable with someone else carrying a gun around me on the train.
But you would not
legally.
Know.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
You would never
well, I know.
Know
that.
Concealed carry is exactly that. True concealed
well,
carry people, they're not walking around waving
showing
their guns
off.
Around. And actually, since...
Oh, no. And I'm not saying seeing it. I'm just saying knowing that it's there. Because, okay, I'm going to use a weird analogy. But you know,
I've got a weird analogy.
Okay,
go ahead.
Here's my quick one. I sometimes, you know, I see it a lot in the park near my house where people walk with their dogs not on leashes. Mm-hmm. And I can usually tell, like, I bet those dogs are well trained. They seem confident enough to not walk without a leash. But I don't know that. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know this person. How do I know that that dog is that trained?
Absolutely.
Or whatever. So I always feel a little bit uncomfortable walking past them. And I sort of feel that way. You seem, I literally do mean, like, I feel comfortable with you. You could have a grenade launcher next to me.
Which is legal under, in some states, under the Second Amendment.
Not this one.
Not this one.
Okay,
but flamethrowers, because sometimes you got to
right.
set stuff on fire.
So all the
right
people
now.
That are all up at arms, no pun intended,
but,
can relax. It's not
right.
legal here.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Let me take a Roosevelt had a question. Yes, Roosevelt, how are you doing?
Hi, how you doing?
Very well.
We have to try something. Why don't we try what happened in Australia? Prior to 1996, the same thing was happening in Australia. Since then, they banned all these repeated weapons or that fire bullets.
Right.
And they haven't had one single incident. Can't we agree that they're there to try something different?
We will never go to that extreme that Australia has been able to pull
no,
back.
No, right, but right. at least head in that direction. Here's another question I have, too.
Yes, they have not had any mass shootings since 1996.
Exactly.
There was a lone gunman shot 35 people in and around a cafe at a historic former prison. And that was what prompted the government to back or confiscate a million firearms. They confiscated a million firearms. Mm-hmm.
Also, I had two more questions. These weapons that are used nowadays, what were they designed for? Were they designed for protecting yourself, or were they designed for battle and in war?
The AR-15, I believe, is designed for as many casualties as possible in a military situation.
Exactly.
You don't think so, Michelle?
We are not in a military situation. You have a right to own a weapon. You have a right to protect yourself. But I also have a right to not be accidentally killed by somebody that has a concealed weapon that shoots 30 rounds. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you so much for joining us, Roosevelt. Did you want anything else to add?
Yeah, also,
yes,
also I want to say the gentleman that called it that said that nobody gets shot in Texas, March, they busted into a gun store. In 1 minute and 19 seconds, they stole 50 weapons. They're still out there. Most of them were the same type of weapons. In Houston, Texas. So this myth that it doesn't happen in Texas, because Texas is way out of line. And recently they've had, didn't they want to have a law to have weapons in schools, the professors?
Teachers, yes.
Yeah, and what did the professors do? They completely went against that and said, wait a minute, these kids are, you know, we're dealing with people, and no matter what situation you are, no matter whether you're responsible, you have feelings, and feelings alter. It's just like driving a car. Why do we have different licenses for different types of
cars? A car has killed more people
cars.
Than guns ever
But since
have.
Since they regulated them, they've been able
yeah.
to bring down the number of deaths.
But cars were made for transportation. That's why we have DUIs. We don't have DUIs for guns. We have people that drink and are on the road, and they're responsible people, but we're dealing with people, meaning emotions come into effect, temperature, road rage. I mean, we're dealing with people. I mean, the way the lady was describing a person that's responsible, you're describing a robot. We're talking about people.
A robot.
People.
Well, he's talking about individual abilities and capabilities.
Right.
Like, if everybody
right.
was able to train at the level at which you and other
right.
law enforcement
exactly.
personnel.
But not everybody does. And
exactly.
That's why not everybody has a
exactly.
gun.
And why not everybody should have a gun.
Yeah. And
but some do that don't do
See,
that.
We agree. See, what Michelle's saying is that she agrees on some points. That she,
oh, I absolutely agree
it
with
should be,
many points.
People should be trained. That they should be proficient.
Right.
They should continue their training, maintain their abilities.
I agree with the background checks and the no-fly
yeah.
list. I
right.
agree with many
yeah.
facets. I do not agree with taking certain privileges away. I think
to thank you, Roosevelt. I just want to make, before this gets away from us. So there was a firearms engineer named Eugene Stoner who developed the first AR-15 or Armalite rifle in the late 1950s, using advances in technology and materials to revolutionize battlefield weaponry. His rifle was marketed to national militaries interested in a lightweight firearm with precision accuracy and high lethality at long range. So the Colt Manufacturing Company eventually purchased that and convinced the U.S. military to replace the M14s with its M16, which employed many of the advances in the AR-15. So it was intended for long-range, high levels of lethality.
But didn't that just say that the military took the M16s over the AR-15s?
They replaced the with its M16, so that it had the technology of the AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
So let me, Dave and John, I will come to your calls as soon as we take a break, and I appreciate you holding on the line. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, Dave hung in there, right? And I was about to push the button for Dave, who was about to say that he thought that, I believe, that the ammo industry is too big to make a difference, to be able to make any headway. And you were mentioning Michelle. We have Michelle Homme in the studio. She has a law enforcement background. She is a gun owner. She believes strongly in responsible gun ownership. You describe yourself. Tell us a little bit about your passion for the Second Amendment. Not the passion for it, but your thoughts.
I don't think I'm passionate. I think I'm just a citizen. That's one of my rights, and I didn't become a gun owner until the last several years with the changes in the world, basically, and what I see on the news, what I hear from people, and I wanted to better prepare myself. I carried other weapons to protect myself.
What other weapons did you carry? Do you not want to tell us, because you have them now?
Nunchucks.
That's okay.
Moving on.
Move it. Wow.
Choco sticks. Yeah. Throwing stars. There we go. I'm bringing the 80s back.
I love it. I used to have a Kubaton.
There you go.
Does that help at all? Do you know what a Kubaton is?
I don't.
It's like a little pipe, but I had one made out of plastic.
Oh, really?
So you jab it in someone's throat. Well, that wasn't even a good move, but you want to get it
it's
right.
It's a mini one. And you can actually use it as a keychain. You use it to
oven
the nerve endings
mm-hmm.
and the
right.
pressure points.
This is the most intimidating conversation I've ever had with two women.
And you're sitting here right between
right.
us, which is probably.
Yeah. You're like, I'm sorry, what? I only made it to green belt, my friend James. they started hitting me in the face, and I was like, I can't do that anymore. Oh, Dave called back. Thank you so much, because you were so patient, Dave. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm okay.
Thank you for calling back.
Well, I think the munitions industry, and it is an industry, it's growing exponentially every month, and it feeds off of the violence going on.
Right.
And I want to make a point that you know, most of the people who are out in the gun frenzy, the buying frenzy now, are living in places where there is virtually no gun violence to begin with.
I live in Chicago.
Well, the people that are...
Do you live in Englewood or Austin?
No, but I do travel to bad areas. I do travel to bad areas. I travel to Hammond. I travel to negative... I travel through bad areas.
Okay, but I think, you know, it is in their interest. You know, they feed off of the violence. And we have more makers and manufacturers of guns in America than any other country in the world. Their profits are in record numbers, and you know, I don't think anything's going to change. We really don't. You know, the politicians say we're going to do this, we're going to do that. They're not going to do that. They're not going to do any of this because the bottom line is money.
And that's what people are saying because, okay, and this is something that's come up today is that, you know, we should be mourning the loss of life. We are mourning the loss of life. We mourn the loss of life after Colorado, after Sandy Hook, after San Bernardino.
Absolutely.
And so at what point do we also then do something, right? I mean, nothing changed after Sandy Hook. Did anything change?
The last caller brought up the conversations about Australia.
Right.
That they deal with crime differently than we deal with crime. We entitle our criminals. I can go on a whole rant about how we protect our criminals with the laws we create.
I was talking to someone in the FBI who works in some of the heavily, you know, crime-ridden areas of Chicago, that the rate of catching, apprehending the perpetrators is about 28-29%. Mm-hmm. The number that are prosecuted is maybe half of that, maybe 5% are sentenced. 5% of all violent crimes
exactly
are sentenced.
Look at
serve time. So
look
what is
at where?
What's the deterrent?
Exactly, there is no deterrent. They're running around, and then people wonder why you want to arm yourself or at least protect yourself when you're going into certain areas that are high crime. When I'm in Glenview, I don't walk around with a gun on my side because the crime rate is low. The police have a very obvious. Well, I'm just saying, as an example, when I'm in that area, I don't have to do that. But you know what? When I travel to certain areas in the city, you're damn right I'm going to arm myself.
And I think what – I'm sorry. I always tell people to get closer to their microphone. I think what Dave is alluding to as well – Dave, are you mentioning that the gun makers' sales have – the guns have soared sales.
That's
absolutely.
Since
Sunday night.
Through the roof, and then that creates – special interests and lobbyists to make sure those profits are there, and then the politicians are going to back them up. It's a whole microcosm, you know, it's a whole thing going there, and it's not going to stop.
No, thank you so much for calling, Dave. Appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks.
Gun company shares soared on Monday by 10% and 9% amid fears that they would change the laws. More after this on 720 WGN.